Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. We recorded our full Sunday review, all the games from Sunday afternoon. I'm not quite sure what happened to the audio, but I went to upload it before and it was completely blank. We don't quite have time to go through and record that again in about a 35, 40 minute episode, which was very disappointing to lose. So we have got all the bloke in a bar content coming for you this afternoon. Normally I start with the Thursday, Friday games. I'm going to start with the Sunday games here. I'm going to break it into three different podcasts for each game. So you can tune into those this afternoon if you'd like to catch up on your team. Once again, guys, apologies for that. Not quite sure what happened there, but we'll try and be better in the future.
Now on to Knights v Raiders. Knights defeat the Raiders 24-14. This is what I'm talking about. This is what the Knights can do. They had everything against them. They defended their absolute arse off, especially the second half. The first half, I was sitting there going, uh-oh, this is not good. Two tries straight through the middle. You know, pretty poor defense. Second half, they came out a different side. The second half, they were gritty. They were tough. And, you know, I know a lot of people were quite disagreed quite strongly and said I was too harsh on the Knights last week because I was disappointed with their performance. Leaking 36 points. I mean, this is the Knights I want to see. This is what a Knights side is all about. Gritty, tough, back against the wall, get the job done, and they did. And so, like, you can build on this. You know, this is now two games out of the four where the Knights have shown a bunch of grit that you would say probably last year, towards the end of the year, wasn't really there. You know, this is a great win. Like, okay, are they playing top eight, you know, footy right now? No, but if they continue to develop this gritty defense, relatively high completion rate, 84% completion, and then they had 24 missed tackles. That's going to lay the platform for a good, solid victory. And I think the Knights, just like against the Tigers, deserve a rap for their grittiness. And I think that's what was so disappointing for me personally last week, is that they just completely fell apart. And if they put it this way, if they fell apart the way they did last week, this week, then probably would have been the same story. But they hung together. Yeah, they had a few players back. Obviously, Brayley came back and Frizzell. But I thought it was a much tougher, grittier performance by the Knights.
I thought it was great by Newcastle to make a bit of a statement. We sat here last Monday, obviously teamless, within 24 hours later, saying, you know, Dominic Young, he knows he's not going to get dropped. He's safe. They made the harsh call to drop him last week, and they come out and put on a performance like that. Great little way to build culture there.
Yeah, to send a strong message. And Greg Marju, this is the version of Greg Marju we all wish for. Like, if he plays like this every week, genuinely not hyperbolic, he'll be one of the best wingers in the game, if not the best. He is phenomenal.
And if KP comes back and they flip him to the left, he could be the best winger in the game very quickly. The opportunities he'll get down that side. The guy that stood out for me as well, I thought Bradman Best was tremendous in this game. I thought there was a number of times last week where, when playing the Dolphins, they put him in really good spots and he constantly cut back off his left foot and ran back into traffic. I love seeing Bradman just back himself.
and just
get aggressive again.
Oh, so good. There was a few times last week where Branko got caught out of position. He got the ball and Isaiah Katoa was coming unders. And instead of just taking him on, he'd come off his left foot and go straight back into traffic. So good just to see Bradman just go, stop me if you can.
Mm, yeah.
That's when he's at his best.
And just like embrace the battle. I think Tomoko brought the best out of him because like Tomoko had that crazy game last week that was super aggressive. Everyone was talking about how strong he was. And Bradman best said, no, I'm not going to let, you know, he put it over me. And yeah, he was outstanding. I think like across the board, literally across the board, they played much better. Like every single player, all the, you know, Matty Croker came on, he killed it. That flick pass that he threw out was
got to find minutes for him.
I know.
They've got to find minutes for him.
I'm not sure where it is, but I think he's got a bit of X factor about him, Matty Croker. Got a bit of ball playing. You know, he's got his ability to call plays and make him, like, specifically make a play for him to break the line or whatever.
So confident in his ability to.
Yep. Jaden Brayley, although there were, I think it was probably two tries where he was a bit in no man's land. I think that's probably a little bit of rust. He still helps shore up, obviously, the middle. So if they can just get rid of that first half kind of defense and they play like they played in the second half, then it's like what the Dolphins did against the Broncos. They're going to be in most matches to challenge for the win. What do you think about the Knights, Timmy?
Yeah, mate, the Raiders made them look like the All Blacks in the second half. We were very ordinary, but not on the Raiders. The Knights were really impressive, and they were still missing some key blokes in this side. Had a few blokes back in there. Tyson Frizzell came back and was outstanding. What was most impressive was in the second half when the game was on the line, they didn't give the Raiders a sniff.
Yep.
Jacko Hastings' kicking game was really good. They completed high, and you were just sort of sitting there going, you know what, as a Raider, the mistakes will come, we'll get opportunities, we will score through them because they've still got a very soft underbelly through the middle. Did not give us a chance.
Yep.
And it's a real credit to them that, as you said, they've had some tough performances this season, a lot of injuries, and they absolutely deserve the win on the weekend. The more blokes come back in this side, there's a glimmer of hope there that, you know, maybe they can exceed some expectations. Still a long way from being convinced, but it was a good win.
Yeah, and you're right. Like, the win wasn't, you know, incredible individual brilliance. Mm. It was the gritty one percenters of kick it in the air, field position. Kick it in the air, field position.
Good chase.
Yeah, just constantly
Don't slip off the first tackle.
That's not talent. No. That's not talent. It's purely attitude and a willingness to get into the grind and go, we are not going to give an inch.
If no shit score, errors coming out of your own end and you're giving us a sniff. We didn't get it.
Literally nothing. And it got to the point where I think Raiders had barely even had a tackle in the 20, or if anything, was quite small. That's the kind of footy when you're down on troops, that's the kind of footy you need to play. Because you can't, it's almost like polar opposites. Broncos are like playing the opposite style of footy where it's like, we got so many guns and superstars, we're just going to find the point somewhere. And like Knights, they're missing so many of their stars that they need to play this kind of gritty footy because at the moment it's the only way they're going to win. Now, when KP comes back, when they get all their troops back in, Saifidi brothers can play together, that will change a lot. But at the moment, if you keep playing like this, I don't know if you'll win more than you'll lose, but you'll at least put yourself in a position to win matches. Dan Gagai was outstanding. Lockie Miller, I thought he was his best game in first grade. I thought he was really, really good. A couple of try assists. So he's like, you're seeing him slowly getting used to the rugby league NRL, like spacing, passing, hitting the right option out the back or hitting short balls. Slowly developing into a player where he's playing so well that he may be taking the decision out of the Knights' hand where they can't move KP back to fullback. He has to stay at six because Lockie is so important to the side.
I think the other thing that makes him so dangerous, as you said, he's getting used to the spacing and timing and all that. Because he is a little bit more unorthodox, it's almost hard to predict what he's going to do.
Mm.
He has just got that. Like, there was a moment there where he threw a flick pass as he was coming out of his own edge yesterday that was like, oh, fuck. But that's – Lockie can bring that.
Yeah.
That's,
and it wasn't his fault that Heimelhunt dropped it.
Yeah.
That was Heimelhunt's fault.
So, as you said, like, you wanted the Newcastle Knights to play with grit and play tough. Jeez, when Jack Whiten scored that try where he just – jogged through the middle of Brayley and Saifidi, I sort of went, oh, fuck, here we go. Please don't do this.
Both of Sunday those tries.
At Newcastle, yeah.
It was Daniel Saifidi missing Jack, and there was I think it was Leo Thompson on Hudson Young for his try, and that's where I mentioned weak underbelly. You just sort of went there. It makes me sick that we didn't win the game off the back of seeing those two missed tackles, but to their credit, they turned it around big time in the second half. But man, like, to see that from two of your key middles.
Oh, yeah, and so I was sitting there going, oh, we're in for a tie. Like, if that's how easy it is to score. Because the Raiders barely completed a bloody set the first half. Like, so when they were up by 4 points at one stage, they had 44% of the ball and they were completing at 63%, and they were up by 4 points. And you're sitting there going, oh, this is alarm stations. But whatever Adam O'Brien said to him at halftime, they came out a completely new side. Just a really simple game plan. And, like, that's what Hastings can offer you. Like, you know, is he going to be Nicho Hynes? No, of course not. But he can give you a game plan that you all stick to it and you can grind out gritty wins like this.
Yeah, and he's a great example, you know, sort of in the same basket to some extent as Sean O'Sullivan. You don't need superstars, but if you all just do your job, I'll kick you into the right spots we need to be.
Absolutely,
in.
Yeah. Sean O'Sullivan's a perfect example. You know, like, he could barely get a first grade crack, you know. And people go, oh, well, he's at the Penrith Panthers. He was at plenty of clubs before he was at the Penrith Panthers.
About six clubs.
He couldn't get a crack at the Warriors.
Yep.
And so, you know, just that good foundational football. So I thought it was a really, really gritty win. And it's like, if you're Adam O'Brien, you're going, boys, here's the blueprint. Let's do this every game. For every minute, and we won't have situations where, you know, 20 points are scored on us in the last 20 minutes of a match, and we won't have situations, you know what I mean? Like, we'll be in a game and fighting for it. Like, this is why we harp on so much about defence. It just puts you in matches to find ways to win. Whereas when you're a team that just constantly relies on attack, eventually it's going to find you out. So yeah, great win. Great win from the Knights.
You have to think over the next 2 weeks, we'd say. Adam Elliott will probably return as well. Yep. That'd be huge for them.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And so would you go, Adam Elliott straight to 13?
Yeah.
What would you do with Kurt Mann off the bench, 14?
Did Kurt Mann get injured yesterday?
Yeah, Cat 1, HIA, so he'll miss 11 days.
Next week, okay.
Jack Hetherington's an interesting one for me. I'm not sure. I feel like he's got more in him, more impact on games, but he's been solid. It hasn't been poor. But, I mean, at least he hasn't been getting sent off every... He's maybe that's what he's doing.
I thought he was lucky yesterday.
He was very lucky.
He's mad.
He is a madman.
How did that not get looked at?
Inconsistency is insane. Like, yeah, anyway. Yeah, I don't know, mate. I don't know.
Struck a guy on the side of the head. He fell to the ground and no one said anything.
No, they just kept playing.
Josh Papali'i was like, what the fuck just happened?
It's like
2 weeks for Jack White and for flicking a bloke in the ear.
Well, I mean, Royce Hunt got bloody sent 10 in the bin for like tapping a bloke. And then he gets up, literally strikes him in the head. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, like, to be clear, though, I don't want either one being 10 in the bin. Mm. Either one shouldn't be 10 in the bin. So, yeah, look, great win by the Knights. Really excited, like, especially with like Bradman Best and Greg Marju. Like, we know what Dane Gagai can do, but if Bradman Best and Greg Marju can find their best, oh, good luck stopping that coming out of their own end. Yep. Good luck stopping that. That is some of the most powerful wing center that you will see ever. Like, Bradman Best is a beast. I just really hope he finds, or I hope he gets to the place that we all know Bradman Best can get to. Because 3 years ago, you were talking Origin Smokey. You know, he's had a couple injuries since then. Hopefully we can see the best again. Because on the weekend, he was outstanding. Absolutely outstanding.
Big test for them this week, up against Manly.
Yeah, Manly looking to bounce back.
Yep.
Again, I guess they just got to be gritty. Just got to at least keep them below a certain amount of points. I think the rest will take care of itself. But after that showing, I'm a bit more confident in their ability to hang in games and find a way to win. Now onto the Raiders. I've been pretty disappointed with the Raiders this year. Like, I know they've been gutsy and hung in wins, but you can only do that for so long. And their completion rate in the first half was like, especially like the first half of the first half, was really poor. I know they're missing Savage at the back, and you know they were missing Fogarty. But I still think when you look at this forward pack, you know, you've got Tommy Starling, Tarpanier, Hudson Young, Elliot Woad, Haruira, Nida. They should be doing better than what they were doing on the weekend. I think they were really disappointing. Don't kill me, Raiders fans. Sorry. Knights fans fucking nearly killed me last week for saying it was disappointing. But I think the Raiders are disappointing on the weekend.
I'll throw it to you. What do you reckon?
Super disappointing, mate. I mean, aside from Matty Frawley emerging as the form halfback of the NRL. We are...
That hair. Just shave it, Russ. Just shave it, Russ.
I don't understand so many things that are going on at the Raiders at the moment. We've spoken about how that a lot of their money is tied up sort of in the forward pack and how explosive the forward pack is, which is fine, but I think we lack strike power out wide. So a lot of our points, which they have done in recent years, have to come through the middle of the field. But to do this, you need to create a bit of second phase play and offloading through Josh Papali, Joe Tappany, Corey Howe and I are a lot of our forwards there. We had three offloads to our name until 3 minutes to go, and then CHN or someone had an offload chasing the game late on. But three offloads after 77 minutes. When we don't have the most star-studded backline in the competition, I just don't see where our points come from if we don't try and create a bit more second-phase play. And I look at Seb Chris, who I know Xavier Savage is coming back in a few weeks, but how far can we realistically go in this competition? And are we any chance of making finals with Seb Chris at fullback? Not a knock on Seb Chris at all. He ran for like 250 metres and just...
Nearly 300.
He worked his ass off, mate. He was really solid, but he's a centre deputising at fullback because we don't have a fullback. And the pressure on Xavier Savage, who is still so raw at NRL level, the pressure on him coming back, for him to come back for his first game of the year and deliver points for us, I harp on a little bit too much about just not having these fullbacks, but I think it's really shooting us in the leg where we don't look great.
I think as well, like Jackie Whiten, he needs, and I don't think Frawley was bad by any stretch. Like I love blokes like Frawley because they're just battlers that are so good for a squad. You can bring them in, they'll do a job, and they're really important to squads, really important to squads. But Jackie Whiten, last few weeks, like, he has these big plays, these big moments, and then he'll kick the ball out in the full, or he'll, you know, and it's just, they need to find that balance of like unleashing Jackie at the right times. And sometimes it's so hard to say because he is one of the best footy players in the NRL. I think you'd probably put him, what, top 10, as in footy players, not position-wise.
As a footy player,
yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah, unbelievable.
He's simply incredible.
It's just the last couple of weeks. Like, for example, last week when the game was in the balance, I know they ended up getting the win, but last week when the game was in the balance, it was like...
Moved like a gazelle across the studio. Yeah,
Jesus. It was tiptoeing like a... Bloody hell.
Thief in the night.
Jesus. Didn't hear a thing.
You took three steps. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, I can move, don't you, mate? Pulling the boots back on in a few weeks, so you look out for it. If the Raiders need a fullback, I'm ready.
I'll be honest, I didn't hear a word you said then. I was completely distracted.
Well, basically, the sum of it is Jackie Whiten's a bloody gun, yeah. And I want him to be involved as much as possible.
I think I heard the words football player, which is exactly what he is.
He's like top 10 footballers in the comp. Like, literally in any 17 you pick, you have to find a place for Jackie Whiten. I don't know where it is in the side, but you have to find a place. He's so good.
Matty Frawley was really good, but the combo that Jack and Jamal Fogarty have produced have looked really good this season. So it was a huge loss, but also not an excuse for why we lost, because Matty did come in to set up our first try, banged a 2-point field goal, had some great moments.
Yeah, so with Jackie, it's just like the big moments. If you just rub out the, you know, he got sent for 10, it was his second offence there.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He kicked the ball out in the full because unfortunately he had three errors. It's like, unfortunately, like, he's the guy for you. If he's not on, you aren't winning footy matches. Like, as I said, he's so fucking good. And he still had really great moments yesterday. But just little rough edges, if he could just clean that up a bit at six. Because, like, when he plays for Australia or New South Wales, he doesn't need to be the be-all and end-all of a side. And that's where you see Jackie, you're the best, because he's getting the ball in good positions.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have to worry about all the other stuff. When you see him at the Raiders sometimes, and he still plays great footy at the Raiders. I mean, he won a bloody Dally M, didn't he, 2-3 years ago? When you see him having to worry about being the kicker and all that kind of, sometimes it can take away from, it's like Matty Burton sometimes to a degree. Takes away from what he does so great.
You're spot on, mate. It's like at the Raiders, because for all the same reasons, for lacking strike on the edges, he has to create everything for us in attack. Whereas at Origin level, because he's got guns around him to put him into these good positions and put him into space and get his one-on-ones with opposing centres or halves or whatever it might be, he just becomes that strong prick of a ball runner, the mongrel, and the damage comes off the back of it.
So I'm hoping Fogarty's return, which, I mean, Fogarty's a big out. And look, they didn't leak, you know, nearly 40 points or whatever. But the Raiders, heading into this season for me, Raiders were like, I thought they were going to improve on last year. I was really, really bullish on them. At the moment, I'm a bit touch and go as to whether they'll play finals footy.
It was something that Tim mentioned before, like you look at the Canberra Raiders, like your attack is a little bit unorthodox. You lack a little bit of strike. And when you were playing good footy at the back end of last year, it was second phase footy. Joe Tappanay offloading at will. I just had a look at his stats. Last year, he had 47 offloads for the year, which I would say the vast majority of those came in the last 10, 15 weeks. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
We're four games into this season. How many offloads do you reckon he's had?
Two.
It's about
two.
Yeah.
Wow. Two in four games.
That's very untuppet.
But he didn't look to offload.
He was not even trying
to. Which is where I'm like, it almost looked like an order to say, you know what, boys, let's just try and complete high, which is ironic because we didn't. If you're a forward-heavy team and you lack strike, second phase play is so key. I rave on about it. Three offloads, 77 minutes in.
Yeah, that is surprising, maybe.
In decent conditions.
Maybe they have been told to just tucker under.
That's what it looked like, but it also makes no sense to me. Josh Papali'i, first game back, played about 35 minutes. He'll be a lot better for the run. He will help a lot, but
Just quietly, though. Tarpon air, quiet game. 18 runs, 241 metres, 101 post contact, 4 tackle breaks, 36 tackles, 0 misses.
Beast.
Fuck.
Corey Horsch was the same too. 22 games last year with 30 offloads. He's played 4 games now. He's had 2. Look, it must be something that
must be a directive.
Corey Howard and I are one of the best offloads in the game. Just not happening.
It must be a game plan. Like, they must want to try to complete high. The only problem is they're not completing
shit
high.
Game plan.
If you're going to trade in the offloads, you want to get the positive for the trade-in, which is a high completion rate.
My whole game plan, if I was them, would be offload, get the ball to Jack.
Yeah.
Straight away. Wherever you are, throw the ball to Jack.
And ironically, a guy like Sebastian Chris could actually thrive off an offload game because that's what he is, a ball runner. He's not a ball player.
Yep.
Just a quick shout-out to Moko, 253 metres, 115 post-contact, 6 tackle breaks. Far out, he's strong for his size.
I love him.
As a centre as well, like... Wingers, it can happen because you get a lot of kick return meters. Yeah. For a centre to run, whenever they run 200+, let alone 250, madness.
It's actual madness because every run's a fucking hit up.
Yeah.
So, disappointing start for the Raiders. As I said, I tell you what, Nui Nice fans, they're passionate. You nearly got killed last year when you said they weren't going to make the 8.
Yes, I do recall.
Oh, so... and then you got annihilated, and then they came out, they played, and then we jumped back on, jumped back off. I didn't feel as the pressure that you felt, but I did feel the Knights' pressure, the passion that they bring.
I went very quiet.